नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we thank the pious people of Polachi for kindly coming to this program this evening. It is certainly the grace of Sriman Narayana, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that even in this very materialistic age, still there are so many people who want to hear topics of Bhagavan. The topic of this evening's talk is, Are Atheists Rational? This is a controversial subject. And actually, we would prefer simply to directly glorify the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. That is the real purpose and perfection of human life. Everyone should simply glorify Krishna. And the very easy way to do that is by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by doing this, what will be the effect? Krishna mantra hoite hobe shongshamochan. Simply by chanting this mantra, one can get freed from the terrible cycle of birth and death. And Krishna nama hoite pabe Krishna charan. And one can attain pure devotional service at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Then why will not everyone take to this glorification of Krishna? Well, one major reason why people don't take to Krishna consciousness is because of the influence of atheism. Atheism is a particular worldview. And its practical manifestation is materialism. If people think that there's no God and we just live and we die and everything is finished, then what's left to life but simply to enjoy the senses? Atheism is nothing new. Many centuries ago, one Charvak, he described what he considered to be the purpose of life. He said it in Sanskrit, so you can speak in Sanskrit and still be an atheist. Vrinam kritva kritang bibet yavat jivat sukham jivat bhasmi bhutasya dehasya king puna agamano bhavet. He said that somehow or other, get some ghee, eat ghee. Live happily. As long as you live, live happily. He said, don't worry about what will happen after you die, because the body is burned and everything is finished. So this is the effect of atheism, that people become simply materialistic sense enjoyers. And people commit more and more sinful activities. And in this way, they pave their path to hell. So atheism is very dangerous. It spoils the opportunity of human life. After many, many births, we get human life. Now, atheists say, well, there's no such thing as rebirth. They think it's very rational to think that when the body is finished, everything is finished. But actually, even by modern scientific investigation, there is ample proof that reincarnation is a fact. So after many births, we get this human birth. So this human life is an opportunity to apply our intelligence to the really important questions of life. To understand that we are suffering in this material world, and we need to take this spiritual solution to be liberated from this world. To understand who is God and what is our relationship with God. Atheism spoils that natural tendency to believe in God. And furthermore, by promoting materialism and sinful life, it causes people to suffer more and more in future lives. You may think, well, why would people believe in something if it has such a bad effect? Well, one reason for that is because if we don't believe in any God and we don't believe in that, in karma and reactions, then we'll be free to just do what we like. If we think we can kill animals and eat their meat, and it doesn't matter that we're causing pain to other living beings because I enjoy it and there's no karmic reaction because there's no God, then we'll do such sinful activities. Oh. And another reason that the influence of atheism is prominent, there can be many reasons. We can say one reason is because of the influence of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, everything gets worse day by day. One reason is that atheists present themselves as being very intelligent and rational. So we would like to simply glorify Narayana, but people have so many doubts. Is there God or not God? Because there's so much atheistic propaganda, which we have to counter. So there's this idea that, well, previously people were not very intelligent, now we're very scientific, now we're rational, now we can understand that there's no God. If you say something untrue many times, it's just, and by the nature of human psychology, people tend to think that it's true. There's a funny story in this connection from Bengali folk culture. Maybe you have this in Tamil also, because many of the stories are the same all over India. So, there was a man called Bhagawan. He wasn't actually Bhagawan, that was his name. And all his friends decided to play a trick on him. So one morning he got up, and as usual in the early morning he went for a walk. And as usual he would meet his friends one by one who are also out walking in the morning. And first one he saw, when he saw Bhagawan, he became shocked. And he said, "Oh, Bhagawan's become a ghost," and he ran away. And Bhagawan thought, "That's very strange. He must have gone crazy." Then he went on and he met another friend, and the other friend did the same thing. And Bhagawan thought, "What's wrong? They've all gone crazy. What's going on?" Then he met his third friend and he said this, "Oh, Bhagawan became a ghost," and he ran away. He started to think, "Well, what's going on here? Doesn't look like I'm a ghost." Then he went on again and again, and then he started thinking, "Well, maybe actually I died and I became a ghost." Then he himself became convinced, "Oh, I must have become a ghost." So the point is that if you say something which is not true and you say it enough times, then people start to believe it, even though it's ridiculous. Now it's very easy to understand that there's a higher power who is orchestrating and creating and maintaining everything in this world. Okay, easy demonstration. You can all see this. Maybe those at the back can't see it very clearly. It's a steel dhaba. Very ordinary thing. You all have something similar to this in your homes. Right? So, how did this steel dhaba come into existence? If you think about it, quite a lot of intelligence went into making this. First of all, to discover how to make this kind of steel, stainless steel. And just to mix the right amount of carbon with the iron so you get just the right quality. There's so many things. You have to discover where the iron ore is, how to extract the iron ore, how to smelt the iron ore so that iron becomes separated. And then it's made for a specific purpose. It could be used for many things. Could use it for scratching my head. What else? I could use it for hitting you on the head. Probably a hammer would be more effective. But this, you could even use it as a mirror. But the specific purpose for which it is made is for drinking water, milk, coffee, and things like that. It's very well made, you see, the lid fits on it very nicely. It's not easy, it's not difficult to put on the lid. Keeps your coffee warm. And it fits very nicely, the lid doesn't fall off. How did it come into being? There was an explosion. It came into being from an explosion. No intelligence behind it. No purpose. Just came into being. Is that rational? Anyone want to make a case for it being rational, that this came into being with no design, no intelligence, no effort? Well, someone could say that, well, we didn't see anyone created. So there's no proof that anyone created it. That's not a very good argument. If such an ordinary item of household paraphernalia requires, if we think about it, a lot of intelligence and a lot of effort to come into being, then what to speak of the whole universe? It's not a very rational proposition that the universe doesn't have a creator and a controller. then the so-called rationalist, who's actually not very rational, said, well, science has proved that there's no God. But if I ask them how science has proved it, they can't say. Well, they say there's a big bang. Can you prove? Can you prove? What can you prove? Scientists, they all have so many different opinions. If we look at what was called science 200 years ago, we think it's very primitive. But at the time they thought, you see, we're so advanced. So now also they think, you see, we're very advanced in science. But if we go 200 years in the future, they'll look back at the year 2018 and think, what science they were doing. Very primitive. And their theories are always changing. So how can we think that this is rational? One time they tell you one thing is true, then they tell you something else is true. How is that rational? They have the idea that by our own intelligence, human intelligence, we shall understand everything. This is simply foolish egoism. If we see the stars at night, we can see how tiny living beings we are in a big universe. Now we don't see the stars at night because we live in these neon lit towns and cities. But actually we're tiny living beings in a tiny universe. How much can we understand about it by our very limited senses and limited intelligence? It's just like if there's an ant crawling here, the ant is in the same universe as us, but the ant has no intellectual capacity to understand why this hall, that we're even in a hall, and why it was made, for what purpose it was made. This understanding should be taught in the schools. Unfortunately, in the schools, indirectly at least, atheism is being taught. The idea that everything has come about simply due to some chance. It's not chance. It's by the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sachara charam hetuna nena kaunteya jagadviparivartate. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that under His supervision, everything moving and non-being, non-moving has come into being. He is the cause of everything. This is rational to accept. Now someone will say, well, it's not rational to believe in God, because how can we believe that there's someone who's so powerful and so intelligent? We never saw such a person. So it's the same thing. A child may say that, well, I never saw anyone create this. If we try to explain to the little child, 5-year-old child, how this was, the iron ore was discovered, extracted, smelted, combined with carbon in a chemical process, made into steel, rolled into steel, so many things, the child thinks, I can't understand all this. Ah, let me just play. So it may be a fact that we can't understand everything of how God creates and maintains everything. But we should not be so foolish and irrational to think that there is no creator and maintainer. Or sometimes the atheists, they say, well, you see, religion has such a bad effect. All this caste system came out of religion. That's very commonly stated here in Tamil Nadu, more than other places. But Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam, these 4 varnas were created by myself, Krishna says. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It means that people are divided into certain groups according to their abilities, capabilities, and propensities. It shouldn't be simply by birth, but different kinds of people are needed to cooperate within society. It's required that some people will be an intelligent class, teachers. It's required that some people take the role of leading and protecting. It's required that some people take charge of producing food. And facilitating trade. Just like here in Polachi, if all the shops closed, then how would you get all the things you need? And it's required that some people do the menial jobs also. So what's called the caste system is not a bad thing in itself, but when it's misused for exploitation, then it becomes bad.
Oh,
For that matter, so many scientific discoveries, they can be used properly or misused. Just like in this hall, the light, the fans, and the amplification system, they're all running on electricity. And presumably that electricity comes from the nuclear power station in South Tamil Nadu, isn't it? All of Tamil Nadu is powered by that. So by that nuclear power, we're having the opportunity to glorify Krishna. It can also be used for killing many people all at once. So it is irrational to say that religion is intrinsically bad. It's the misuse is bad. If we actually lived as Krishna has taught us to live, or as Jesus has taught us to live, the world would be a much better place than it is. But people, they don't take the essence of the teaching and they misuse the teachings. And the irrational atheists, they just see the worst side, they don't see the good side. So we request you not to be misled by the irrational atheists. They seem to think that they are very intelligent. And that only foolish people believe in God. But they don't know, maybe they don't know, or maybe they're just ignoring the fact that some of the most intelligent people in history have been religious people. The most intelligent person in the history of the Tamil people was Ramanuja. If I didn't say Ramanuja Acharya, you said it. If I say an intelligent Tamil person called Ramanuja, you'll all think, oh yes, Ramanuja, the mathematician. Very intelligent. But much more intelligent was Sri Ramanujacharya. Why was he more intelligent? Well, one thing is because he applied his intelligence to more important things than mathematics. He applied his intelligence to what is the purpose of life, who is Bhagavan, what is our relationship with him. And if we see the philosophical depth that he gave, most people, it's out of their depth, they can't follow. It's very deep philosophy that he's given in his writings. But he's also intelligent in as much as he's given us the actual truth. By mathematical trickery, someone who's very expert in mathematics, they can seemingly prove that 1 equals 0. I remember once at school, our mathematics teacher, he showed on the board a very complex calculation, and he went through it step by step, and the conclusion is that 1 equals 0. Only someone who's expert in mathematics can do that. But the conclusion is nonsense, because 1 does not equal 0. There was some trickery in the way he formed the calculation. So if someone who is seemingly very intelligent proves that 1 equals 0, it's nonsense. And if a child says 1 doesn't equal 0, 1 equals 1, then even though he's not so very super intelligent, he's right. So real intelligence means to understand what is correct. What is correct? There is another narration from the pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Krishna come in the form of his devotee. He came 500 years ago to this world. When he visited Sri Rangam, he saw in the temple one Brahmana reciting Bhagavad Gita. But the Brahmana's pronunciation was very bad. And he was crying as he was chanting Bhagavad Gita. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very surprised. And he said, what's going on here? Why are you reciting Bhagavad Gita with so much mispronunciation, and why are you crying? So the Brahmana said, well, my guru ordered me to daily recite Bhagavad Gita, so I'm doing that. But I'm not properly educated. For a Brahmana at that time especially, to be not very educated, it was a very humiliating thing. But he openly said. So he said, I can't read properly. But I'm trying to, because my guru ordered me. I have to follow my guru's order. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but why are you crying? Then the Brahmana said, because while I'm chanting Bhagavad Gita, I just think of how Krishna, who's the Supreme Lord of all beings, has become so kind to his devotee, to Arjuna, that he's taken the role of his charioteer. And thinking of his wonderful quality of love for his devotee, bhaktavatsalya, I'm simply crying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are the best scholar of Bhagavad Gita. Now how can he be the best scholar of Bhagavad Gita if he can't even read it properly? Because he's come to the best or the right conclusion that after studying Bhagavad Gita, we should simply be entranced by the grace of the Supreme Lord upon His devotees. So please don't be influenced by these people who think they're very intelligent in denying God. There is God. His name is Krishna. He has many names, but Krishna is the all-inclusive name. Because it means all attractive. He has all the divine qualities to attract the hearts of everyone. So we don't say that you don't be intelligent and just believe blindly. But we can't waste our lives just arguing back and forward with useless people who have no proper understanding of even the most basic things, that there is God. If we want to understand God, then we can understand Him as He presents Himself in Bhagavad Gita. And more elaborately, we can understand Bhagavan from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is given by Ved Vyas as his ultimate contribution. Books. So one of the great contributions of this Krishna conscious movement is giving clear spiritual knowledge to a materialistic, atheistically influenced society. Blind faith is very dangerous. Not to believe in God means you waste your human life. To accept some rascal and cheater who claims himself to be God is also very dangerous. There are so many imitation gods. So we should apply our intelligence to understanding the actual God, Krishna, as He presents Himself in Shastra. It's because of these Shastras that I myself was fortunate enough to be attracted to this Krishna consciousness movement. I was also raised in a so-called rationalistic scientific society. But that so-called rationalism, it doesn't satisfy the heart. So I had the tendency to believe in God, but I couldn't believe some of the things, or most of the things that was being taught to me, when you have to have blind faith and all this kind of thing. better not to put on your leg. But when I read these books of Srila Prabhupada, authentic shastras, then I could understand that there is actual knowledge of God. So if anyone has any questions, you can please put them, and then shortly afterwards we'll have the drama. If anyone has any question, please stand up and we'll give you the mic. Yes. Yeah. He has to come all the way. Okay. Yeah. And you have to tell them to hold the mic to the mouth and to speak slowly and clearly. Next will be this gentleman here. First, here. Yeah. Please. It's very clear. Krishna says, whoever understands me as the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, the proprietor of all planets, and the best friend of all living beings, attains peace. So for more elaborate explanation, you can please study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Then someone else had a question over here. Please pass the mic here. Did everyone hear the question? Everyone heard? Well, in Shastra it's stated, Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Dvo Bhuto Sargo Lokesmin Daiva Asura Evacha. Within this world there are two kinds of people, the divine and the demoniac. This is discussed elaborately in Shastra how some people, they don't want to surrender to Krishna at all. Bhagavan gives everyone some independence. We can use it to choose to surrender to Krishna or not to surrender to Krishna. Krishna gives us all facility to accept what we have to say, but if we determine not to hear it, then He doesn't force us. Krishna wants us to love Him. But love means voluntary. If by force I put a gun to your head and say you love me, then that's not love. So Duryodhana, like so many demons, he misused his independence. Don't misuse yours. No, the mic, let the mic. First, there's one gentleman here. No, wait a minute, please give the mic to him. You can be next. Tell him he can be next. Well, I already spoke, didn't I? That anyway, there are different kinds of people in society. The people who are making this criticism, they are, in one sense, like brahmanas. Like brahmanas. Because they're giving a philosophical teaching. This Periyar, he wasn't working in the coal mines or pulling rickshaws. He was sitting and writing. So he had a privileged life. And his followers respected him. So there'll always be hierarchy in human society. Communism was an experiment to try to make a classless society. But in the communist USSR, there were factory workers, laborers, there was the managing class, there was the political class. So there are different kinds of people. It's required in human society. So the Varna system is just recognition and an intelligent organization of a fact of society that no one can change. That there are different classes of people. Just like I would imagine here, most of you who are attending are of a somewhat higher educational level than the average. The drunkard class of people are not coming here. So you're different, isn't it, to the others? So difference is always going to be there in human society. Difference is not a bad thing, but when it's used to exploit others, then it's a bad thing. And any... And anyway, what they did, they just turned it around and said, they're saying the brahmanas are oppressing the lower classes. So now they turned it around and the lower classes are oppressing the brahmanas. So how is it morally any better? Then, on the spiritual platform, no one is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, no one is male or female, no one is Tamil or non-Tamil, no one is Hindu on the spiritual platform. So in this Krishna conscious movement, we operate on the spiritual platform. In our Krishna conscious temple in Salem, we have so many brahmacharis, all from different castes. Everyone lives together, everyone chants Hare Krishna together. So we can have a classless society when we come to the spiritual platform. But even then, in organizing a temple, then some are the temple priests, some are the temple administrators, some are cleaning the floor. So there's a division of labor. But we don't think anyone's better because they're worshipping the deity or if they're cleaning the floor. We want to see how much everyone is serving Krishna, that's all. If someone joins our temple from Brahmana caste, we don't allow them to worship the deity until they become trained by us. And then we'll accept them as suitable for worshipping the deity. Whereas we have people from very low castes with their trained and they're also worshipping the deity. It's by quality, not by birth. It's a matter of social organization, that's all.
people are all of bad qualities, nobody is patient, they are getting so much anger. And Lord only created peace and hades. If the Lord had created only one class of people, the world would have been much better. So what is the proper understanding? What is this all about?
Well, why aren't you that first class kind of person? Why aren't you without any bad qualities? Can you say you are without bad qualities? Why do people have bad qualities? Is anyone forcing anyone to be bad? We are born in this Kali Yuga because we have bad propensities. Because we have independence given to us by Bhagawan. To use our lives properly or to misuse. So you come and join this movement and you be trained to be first class and you train others to be first class, Paramahamsa. And then there'll be no problem in human society. Yeah, please. What did she say?
What Prabhupada said about Krishna, what is the most attractive thing that Prabhupada told about Krishna?
So say it in Tamil. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To know clearly who is our Master, who is the Lord of our life, was the most refreshing information that I got after millions of lifetimes. After millions of lifetimes wandering in this material world, not knowing who is my Master, now I know, thanks to Srila Prabhupada. What is that verse, Yamuna Acharya? Bhavantam eva anucharan nirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara katam vaikantika nitya kinkara praharshi yashami sanata jivita. This is a very nice verse composed by Yamuna Acharya, one of the gurus of Sri Ramanuja Acharya. So he prays in his Stotra Ratna that praying to Krishna that when will I have the position of being your servant? Eternal servant, nirantara. And always be engaged in your service. That time I will achieve relief from the catapulting of the mind. And then I will very happily live knowing who is my Master. So this is the summation of the good news that we got from Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, specifically Krishna. There are so many ideas about God, but Krishna is the proper answer to all questions about God. Not satisfied with that? Is he leaving? No, just going to sit down. All right. Yes, please. We have a lot of questions this evening.
He has mother and father, what are the names?
That's controversial also. That's controversial. What are the names? Well, everyone knows the mother and father of Krishna are Devaki and Vasudev. Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. Yeah, but if you go to Vrindavan, they'll say, no, it's Nanda and Yashoda. So he has no father and mother, he's the father and mother of everyone. He has two fathers and mothers. That's a great mystery, isn't it? Well, God does that. You can't do that. Great mystery. Your name is Jagannathan. Very good name. But you're not Jagannathan. He's Jagannathan. You are Jagannatha Dasan. He wants to introduce pranayama. Yeah, if you want, you can do pranayama. So you can translate, he wants to introduce pranayama. If he wants, he can introduce. You tell him if he wants, he can introduce pranayama. But it's very difficult to do it properly. But you can get all the results of pranayama and everything else in Shastra simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare. You can do pranayama and get good health. And eventually you'll die and get born again. We will chant Hare Krishna and we won't get born again. So chanting Hare Krishna is the best pranayama. Anyway, if you want to do a pranayama, excuse me, sir, excuse me, Mr. Jagannathan. If you like to present pranayama, you organize a program like this, you invite people and you teach it. But Hare Krishna. Well, one gentleman was saying that people don't have much patience, but you've all listened very patiently. Thank you very much. Should we take one more question? This gentleman has, okay, quickly. Sigaram, one more question. People are suffering because of forgetfulness of Krishna. When we forget Krishna, then we come into this world of suffering. The very nature of this world is that it's full of suffering. There's nothing we can do to stop that. You can bring in one political party or another political party, suffering will go on. You can bring an AC to cool things down, but still you'll go on suffering. You can try and benefit the poorer classes, but suffering will go on. This Krishna Conscious Movement is the best social welfare movement because it teaches people what they really need to know, which is Krishna. If we chant Hare Krishna, then we'll go to Krishna. No more suffering. So what's the subject of the drama? Haridas Thakur. Now we have a drama about Haridas Thakur. Ramanandri, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.